Hello, Potters! Welcome to episode 161 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Welcome to February. Woohoo!
Yay! By the way, I'm Valerie. That's Amber. Say hi, Amber.
Hi, Amber.
There we go.
No, I'm Amber. We're getting closer to convention season, basically, where we get into our busiest part of the year is Cosplay.
We're so, like 95% of the country, apparently, you're at KatsuCon right now.
Yes. There's this one segment of the year between February and like May. That one 3-month period where there are just conventions upon conventions upon conventions every weekend. And you can't go to them all, obviously. But all the big conventions that a lot of our friends like to go to are all during that very short 3-month span period.
Which is kind of a pain in the butt because that's also like the busiest time of year for me. It's like, I can't go out or do anything. Go fig.
Because we need to be here working on cosplay and other convention type things, which we will actually talk about later in the episode. But first, let's go ahead and talk about what we've been working on. Speaking of Con Crunch.
Sure.
You first, since I see hair sausages in the background.
Yeah, I have hair sausages in the background. Look, amazing, right? So weird and strange and unusual. So I haven't really had much of a chance to work on my own stuff because I picked up a commission and I really, really wanted to do it because it was like, this will be a fun challenge. I'm crazy. Why not? Let's do it. So I'm currently working on Riju from Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And just to help you guys out to figure out what the heck I'm talking about, I'm going to pull up a visual. There's one visual. Just to make you guys go a little nutty about what the heck that is. And then stop sharing. Stop sharing. Thank you. There we go. So yeah, it's a big, chunky, full wig. And it requires some extensive engineering to make this thing happen. It's one of those where it's like I could have gone the route where I've done the whole thing completely out of hair. It would have been really, really heavy and a pain in the butt to wear. And maybe after 20 minutes, the person wearing it would be like, nope, I'm done. And you couldn't really do it kind of like Rapunzel from Tangled where, you know, you flip it over the shoulder and then you have that hair sticking there for the rest of the day because Riju never has her hair flipped around. She has like a big ass crown and all this stuff that's attached to it. So I kind of had to think about, okay, we need to make sure that this wig is light enough that it can be worn for several hours without annoying the person wearing it while still being durable at the same time. So that's where the hair sausages have come into play. They are just pantyhose material that I kind of sewed together into tubes. It's got some quilt batting on the inside, so it's really, really light, but still durable. And I'm just in the process right now of covering all of that with hair, as you can see. And it's very big and very long. I have two more pieces that I need to stick onto each one of those tubes, but I'm going to go through and glue these suckers down so they don't go stray like all over the place, because I don't need that mess to happen. And I'm hoping that this weekend I can get all of this attached to the wig and then I can start actually braiding it and styling the hair, which if you've been watching me on my Instagram, I have already defiled this wig horribly. Even Arda cried when I tagged them on it. That was funny. So yeah, it's been an interesting challenge, but it's been fun. And I kind of liked having something new to work on. I kind of got away from beading for a little bit. Particularly since I broke my beading needle yesterday. Go me! I'm going to blame figure skating for that one. So yeah, that's pretty much all I got for cosplay updates. I'm sure next time is going to be more wig stuff, because wig stuff. Oh, goodness. All right, your turn, Amber. I see stuff. I just don't know what that stuff is.
Let's see, can I tilt this without it falling over?
Oh, Lord. Careful.
There we go. It's a pile of stuff.
It's stuff.
See? I got, you know, pieces. Ah! I just dropped one. And pieces. And pieces. And pieces.
I saw a little Triforce.
You know what all of these are for?
Yeah, I think they're for Zelda.
They're for my Zelda armor.
I like that we're both working on Zelda things.
Everybody's working on Zelda things right now.
Right?
Oh, there it is. There we go. This is not a leaf. I had to jump on the Zelda train with everybody else. No, I've actually been working on Zelda for a little while now. It's just a matter of actually finding time to work on it consistently. See, there's a one of my pauldrons.
That's a really nice shape.
This is actually thanks to the Firefly Path for Warrior Princess. Right now it's taped in the back, but other than that, this is actually just completely holding itself together. This is entirely foam and styrene.
Yeah.
You can kind of see in the back a little bit. I have little tabs glued across, and that's the seam that's actually covered by the ribbon in front to make sure it's held together. But the pattern actually does a really good job of holding the shape by itself. It's a little hard to assemble. I ended up having to wrap this and tape it around a 2-liter bottle to hold it in place while I hot glued everything together, which is actually a little difficult to do because you kind of have to push the two pieces together to make sure the seam meets mm-hmm. when you're hot gluing it. Because otherwise, because the seams aren't straight lines, one of them actually curves up a little bit to get this puffed out shape on the bottom. It actually won't hold together flush unless you push it together. So it's really hard to do that when you are one person with only two hands, one of which is holding the hot glue gun. So I taped it down as best as I could. This isn't, you know, my greatest armor work by any means. And there are flaws, which I know about, but I'm not going to sit there and talk about them. Because, you know, at least this looks decent. I can't really complain about that part. There are little hot glue hairs in many places still, of course. And that's what happens when you hot glue things. I am still debating the color to make this, because I haven't messed with the dyeing yet. I haven't had time. I've been spending what little time I have working on, you know, armor and the pieces that go to it. But right now my crepe back satin is pink. It is very much baby pink. In fact, it is. Right. Let go. Here we go. It is this color pink. It is very pink.
It's very pink.
It is like very much baby pink.
Yeah.
You can see a little better. I don't know if I should leave it that color because it's actually a nice color and just do a color variation on it, or if I should actually try and dye it purple. Either way, I want to make the armor silver. And I know hers is gold and people are going to harp on me for the accuracy of it. And frankly, I don't care because I think it looks nicer as a color scheme with silver. Whether it's purple, whether it's pink, doesn't matter. The silver actually looks better with it. And that goes double because of the fact that I'm doing it with dark hair. Her hair is kind of a dirty blonde for most of the pictures that she's in, but I would like to do a dark hair variant, kind of like Hilda. Just not quite with the vivid color scheme that Hilda has, because it wouldn't look good on me, especially because I am, you know, as pale as I am. So I just like to do a color variant on it. I just haven't decided what yet. Not to mention that I was going to go outside and start spray painting today because they're like, oh, it's supposed to be, you know, 65 degrees. They didn't mention that it was supposed to be 65 degrees at 6 a.m. this morning. And then the temperature is supposed to fall for the rest of the day. And we're supposed to get really, really, really stiff north winds. And the cold front comes through and it's going to rain. So that kind of knocked out all of my spray painting plans because windy and very humid are both not good things for spray painting. Temperature Texas. Notwithstanding.
It's Texas weather. This is, I think, what we were 42, almost near freezing Sunday, Monday, then shot up to 80, and now we're going back down again.
Uh-huh.
Texas!
It makes it really hard to work on the prop portion of it. So what I've been doing while I'm waiting for Mother Nature to cooperate again, which probably won't happen until 2 weeks from now when it stops raining.
Right.
Is I have all of this really nice chocolate wedding satin that was my bridesmaid's dress for one of my family members, and I don't need it anymore simply because all but one of my little brothers are married now, and the one that is getting married has already told me their colors, and this is not one of them, so I don't need the dress anymore. And, you know, waste not, want not, this is heavy, good quality satin, and I didn't want to just throw it out. So I am taking the dress apart, and then I'm going to use the rest that I purchased, which is actually sitting up in my fabric organizer. And this will be my lining. It's nice and heavy. It will give it a good drape. It's good quality fabric, and it would be a good use for it. So I'm slowly taking it apart. The problem with like good quality sewing is that when you go to take it apart, there are so many freaking things to take apart. So many seams that I sewed on this, all the top stitching I did, all of the basting that I did that I left in so that it wouldn't fall apart. The fact that I fully lined it with itself means I have twice as much to take apart. Yeah.
Yeah, this is part of the problem when you know how to sew, you know how to sew well, is that it doesn't matter what garment you make, you want everything to have the same consistent quality. Uh-huh. So if you try to take it apart, you're just...
That's the thing. You're making it as though you're never going to take it apart. And then the day comes and I'm like, you know what? I could really use this for something else. Oh God, what was I thinking when I made this?
I do this a lot with zippers and buttons. Anytime that I'm deciding that I need to throw something out and I want to save the zipper for something else, I'm just like, why did I do this? Why?
I mean, anytime that I get rid of a costume, which I have done a few times in my life, I've actually retired costumes, and then I go to take it apart, I always try and salvage the pieces as best as I can. And it's not just the fabric. I will salvage as much of the props as I can, as much of the armor as I can, as much of the accessories as I can. So all of the notions like zippers and hook and eye closures, buttons and all that good stuff, I try and save those too. The only things that I cannot save are fabric pieces that are too small for anything. Those, unfortunately, I just have to donate or get rid of. And Velcro that is fusible, because you can't remove that. It's fused in. But anything that is sewn, or if I use a loose adhesive, like if I had to hot glue something together, it'll just pull apart. And those I'll salvage. And I have a large collection of salvaged things. So that has pretty much been my cosplay project for the moment. I have a few other things that I would like to be working on. In fact, I'm going to unwind this for just a second so I can walk myself behind my desk, because this is actually sitting right behind. There it goes. So I'm just going to get a Joanne's bag. That's all. Let's see.
What could it be?
Well, given the sale this weekend... Oh, let go. There we go.
It's got to be more entertaining than the giant bag of fiber and polyfill that I've got, so...
Probably is. Yes. There we go. You guys don't need to see the rest of this. It just has magazines in it from the mail. But I got hat pattern. This is new, because hats are good with casual cosplay. And they actually go along with... I actually got Lolita cords.
Cute!
So they actually have two of them that are... There we go. So there's the bubblegum kind, and then there's the more formal Victorian kind.
Nice.
So I got those to try. I don't necessarily know that I will wear them to a convention, but I'm willing to give it a shot, especially because these were a dollar. This is another hat pattern. The steampunk hats look really cool. They did a really good job with the Archivestra, which is their steampunk line. They've been doing a really good job with their accessories lately. One of their hats is actually a dragon hat that looks really cool. And then they had... This is kind of a weird fusion of Lolita and kimonos.
Yeah, I've seen those a couple of times. And I think McCall's has a very similar pattern. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that, but you know, a little bit different, of course.
Yeah. This was actually one of the first ones that I wanted to try for casual cosplay for various characters. Umi from Magic Knight Rayearth, Pyrrha from Ruby... you can do Athena from Saint Seiya. Like, I could even just wear this with a party wig, just to be, you know, comfy at conventions. But it still looks nice, and it's still a costume, and they're cute. I may want to drop the length of the skirt just a little bit though, because those kids are a lot younger than me. And then I got the Woodland Warrior one. Speaking of Zelda,
right?
This is again one of those more casual, comfy kind of costumes that aren't complicated, but you can obviously tell what it is. So I got all of those that I can try, you know, to work on with all of my excess fabric that I have. So I have plenty of, you know, costume ideas for me to work on. It's just a matter of having the time to be able to do it and to focus on one project at a time, which sometimes I have a lot of trouble doing. And I know a lot of cosplayers do, especially those that take commissions, where you kind of have to be working on several things at a time. That's why I can't take commissions. I have enough trouble working on sometimes 2-3 projects at the same time, and it doesn't go well.
Yeah, time management is a bugger when it comes to commissions. I mean, especially for me with my real world job, the 9-to-5-er or the 6-to-6-er, it's really difficult for me to take on extra commissions other than what I've already got stacked on the radar for me. That's also why I've got only like 3 costumes that I'm planning this entire year for myself, because it's just like I barely have time for my own work. So I'm good.
I work 11-hour days.
It's fun.
Welcome to being an adult.
I know, right?
But, you know, it's very zen sometimes to work on it. I mean, even just ripping stitches can be very zen if you're just doing it while you're watching something in the background or listening to it. So at least there's that. It is a little bit relaxing from, you know, the day job. And sometimes you really just need that. Even if it is as unglamorous as ripping stitches.
Or putting hair onto sausages. While watching snowboarding.
All right. So that is all that we have for cosplay updates for right now. So let's move into our convention announcements. We have AllCon news to talk about.
Yep, which is exactly 1 month away.
Yes. Yay. And reminder, in case you guys are just listening to us for the first time, or if you have forgotten over the last couple episodes, we are hosting their Saturday night cosplay contest. Now, please note, that is the cosplay contest, not the costume contest. They as in the AllCon staff, they run the Friday night contest, which is the costume contest. It does not focus on craftsmanship as much as ours does. They're a little bit more about presentation, which seems kind of backwards since cosplay is supposed to be more about presentation. But we actually take a lot of pride in, you know, congratulating people and rewarding them for good craftsmanship. Now, that said, we do have a category this year called Open, where even if you did not make your costume, or if you didn't make the majority of your costume, say if you thrifted it or had it commissioned, you can actually still compete for prizes this year. We listened to your feedback from last year, and we wanted to be more inclusive to the contestants to allow more people to walk the stage and allow more people to compete. And so, that said, you can walk the stage in that category if you wish to.
It's almost an extension of the audience favorite that we started 2 years ago. It's just basically taking, you know, what the costumes that people love the most, they love to see. And sometimes they are the store-bought costumes because the person who is cosplaying it did such a great job portraying the character. Or they have so much fun acting. Or they make people laugh. Or whatever the case may be. So I think it'll be a lot more fun this year. I'm looking forward to it. Plus the fact that we're on Saturday.
Which is not normal. We used to be the Friday night contest hosts. They switched us this year. Now we're Saturday.
It's exciting.
Yes. And do bear in mind that signups are on site this year. We are not doing online signups this year. So you have to sign up while you are there. But signups do start Thursday of the con. So you don't necessarily have to wait until Saturday. We highly encourage you guys to sign up early to secure your slots, because we do have a cap, and that is mostly for time constraints and the fact that we have limited space in the room. So once we hit 70, that's it.
60.
So, even better. Now we have 60. You reserve your spot early, because we will eventually have to close off entries.
Yeah. If it helps any, if you're concerned about, you know, the badge prices, Thursday is 100% free. So you can actually show up Thursday, have fun, enjoy the convention in all of its glory, and sign up while you're there, and then do the day badge on Saturday. Saturday is usually the fun day anyway. I love the Saturdays.
You do have to have a badge to get into the contest. Unfortunately, we cannot provide those for you, but you can either have a weekend pass or a day pass. Both of them will work to get into the contest.
Epic Cosplay is one of our sponsors for the contest. We cannot thank them enough, and especially because Amber and I have been patrons of theirs for Lord knows how long, but we were really happy that they agreed to it. They're giving us prizes for beginner, intermediate, advanced, as well as Best in Show. Best in Show is going to get a $55 gift card, which is awesome sauce, because that's like 2 wigs through Epic, or like a wig and a lot of extensions. So, and you can
or
do
you can
a
get things like you can get wig stands, which are very important. You can get wig caps, which are very important.
They have a wide array of stuff, and they're coming out with a lot of new lace front wigs. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really kind of surprised. I actually saw one of their email messages this morning. I was like, that's a new lace front. I didn't know that they started doing lace fronts, so that's kind of cool. I know for both of us, we really appreciate their long wigs.
Yes.
The Lady Godiva wigs are like to die for, because the type of fibers that they use, pretty close to being as tangle resistant and tangle free as one can expect with the wig, especially with a lot of those manufacturers. It's so easy for that stuff to just whip around in the wind, walk around the con center, you come home and it's a giant ball of poof that you have to detangle. You don't have to do that as often with Epic Cosplay wigs. They're smooth, they're silky, they're sleek. They got a lot of good colors. I'm a big fan.
They're
of
much
their
easier to detangle than they used to be, because they're using a new synthetic material now. From when we first started purchasing from them, they've actually changed their synthetic fibers that they use. Much easier to detangle now, much easier to heat shape, and they'll hold their shape longer. And you can actually restyle them after each wearing if you choose to do so. So you can use them for multiple characters if you wish.
I actually have one of their wigs for my Lady Boshi costume, and that's one where I've opted to do like a natural styling with it, so it doesn't have a whole lot of product, but it's probably one of the easier wigs that I've bought that I've been able to restyle over and over again without it actually damaging the wig, so that's kind of nice. But apparently the fibers that they use come from Japan. I was totally not aware of that. That might be why it's gotten better.
All of my wigs are from Epic Cosplay.
Pretty much, yeah.
No, like literally all of my wigs are from Epic Cosplay.
You do have a lot of long-haired characters though, so that kind of makes sense.
I do tend to reuse my wigs a lot.
You do?
Even if you look at most of the patterns I bought, long hair.
I know, right?
Long hair, long hair, long hair, long hair, and long hair.
There's a pattern with your patterns.
There's a pattern with the patterns, yes. Although, I will tell you, I know you guys can't see it because I have my hair in a ponytail since I just showered, but I actually am not long-haired anymore.
Yeah, she cropped it.
I chopped off more than a foot of my hair.
I need to do that too, and I recently, I don't want to say recently, as of 2 months ago, I had this cut and it's already too long again. I need to chop it back.
And unfortunately, after my surgery that happened around Christmas, because I was bedridden for so long, my hair basically developed matting and knotted around itself, and I literally could not untangle it, despite using all the normal methods that one would use, like coconut oil and detangler and such.
Right.
And so eventually I had to go to the salon. See, there you go. You can see
there
how short it is now. I went to the salon. It took them probably a good 40 minutes to detangle my hair. And it took two people because my hair was down to my butt. And then they chopped it all off. So that's not something that you'll have to do with your wigs with Epic Cosplay. I would say that with Epic Cosplay, with their wigs, be really careful about DIY detangle solutions, because with their new synthetics, some of the old methods will still work, some of them don't. So the whole thing with like fabric softener and lotion and the different kind of shampoos or silicone spray, test it on an underside first, please, so that you don't ruin your wig. Because I actually ruined one of my Epic Cosplay wigs using the fabric softener technique.
Yeah, you don't need to do the fabric softener on Epic. You can still do the lotion, watered down lotion, because I've done that a couple of times on the recent wigs and I haven't had a problem with it. The fabric softener is a little too harsh on those wigs.
It frizzes the wig.
Yeah, it's not a good call.
It will badly frizz your wig to the point where it's unsalvageable, even with a flat iron. Because I tried that. I actually have to replace that wig eventually. But, you know, other than that, I have absolutely no issues with their wigs whatsoever. They're really easy to take care of. So hopefully you guys will be even more incentivized to join the contest, knowing that they are one of our awesome sponsors. And we also have another sponsor that we will be talking about later on as we get closer to the con.
Yay! Going Ape Costume made a comment that said, our buddy Evil Ted apparently is going to your all con. And we're like, yes! I can't wait to sit on one of his panels.
I want to sit on all of his panels. And I want to ask him questions. So if I can arrange a Cospod interview with him, I will do so. You know, fingers crossed. I am hoping.
That would be awesome.
I definitely want to sit in on his panels because he does some really solid foam work. I'm very impressed And he actually now sells his patterns in his shop. So you guys can go and purchase his wares.
Nice. Apparently he's super friendly. Go say hello. Yes. We will do our best.
Yes. It's more of a time thing with the interview, because usually whenever we ask people to interview, we ask for a solid, 15, 20 minutes of someone's time, because we need time to set up our camera, make sure everything is good, start the recording, do the interview, and then pack up and leave the room and make sure we leave it the way we found it. Sometimes that can be really hard to do at conventions, to get 20 minutes uninterrupted of somebody's time. So, we'll do our best.
Right. We'll make it work somehow.
Yes. All right. I don't believe we have any other Alcon announcements at this time.
Nope, that's it for now, other than Val got the trophies in yesterday. Woo!
Also, just on a more general convention note, do note that their hotel discounted price is going to end soon. I believe it's 9 days from the date of this recording. So by the time you guys hear this, it's probably only going to be 1 or 2 days left. So if you want to go ahead and get a hotel room for Alcon, make sure to book ASAP to get their discounted rate, because otherwise it's going to be normal rack room rate, and there's no sense in paying more if you don't have to. And that is all that I've got for Alcon now. I'm done now.
So that means next segment time, and no segue. Yes. That's okay. Whatever. So we decided that for our segment for today, we're going to be having a mini product review from me, Ayo. We're going to be talking about this lovely, wonderful doohickey that we can't really see because of my lovely lighting system. It is a punch embroidery needle. I was actually suggested to try one of these out by a mutual friend of ours, Destiny Aiden Cosplay, who's actually been one of our judges at AllCon before. And she said, hey, have you tried this before? I was thinking about doing this in my Amidala costume. And I was like, no, let me research this. And it's only $9 to $12 on Amazon, depending on which version that you get. And I was like, you know what? It's worth a couple of bucks. I will give it a shot. So I haven't even opened the package yet. This is how amazing this review is going to be. So you get to actually watch me unbox it, try it out, and get my real reactions to this. So I hope you enjoy this product review. Today, I am going to be doing a product review slash test on an embroidery punching needle. Mine costs, I think, $12.99 on Amazon, and it was a full kit. It came with, I'll actually open this now so you guys can see it. I haven't really looked into this at all. So it came with the punch needle itself, as well as a backup one, two additional needles. I think altogether, so there's four needles, and they all have like different purposes. It goes from the size of like a yarn needle to like a thin embroidery needle, as well as the threaders, which are a little difficult to see, and then some backup threaders as well. So it's pretty straightforward, but it does come with four needles versus, just buying the pen by itself, which you can get at a number of craft stores where it's just the pen and one needle. At least with the kit, it gives you more options and you can kind of change out the needles as necessary. So what I've learned online looking at this, it's usually used for like quilts, purses, cushion covers, towels, tablecloths, even like for wall hangings and placemats, because it gives this really nice, neat raised texture to it. But the downside is that because of the way this needle works, it can only be used on certain types of fabric. Ideally, you need a fabric that's 50% polyester and 50% cotton, something that is tightly woven together, so that way the needle is able to get through with ease and secure the thread better to the fabric. Weaver's cloth is considered the best option. They also mentioned twill as another possibility. You could probably do poplin, but I would go with a really nice higher quality poplin, like the $8.99 to $12.99 a yard poplin, not the $2.99 a yard, because that poplin tends to have a looser weave to it. The higher end poplin has tighter weave, so it makes it easier to use this. And the reason that I say why you need to have specific fabrics for this is that I found out, look at how big that needle is, and that's the smallest needle. So that's a lot you have to deal with to have to go in and out of the fabric. So yeah, that definitely caught my attention, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that's something. And because of that, you probably don't want to do the 99 cent or $1.99 floss from your local craft store, because it's going to eat through this really, really fast. You can see, based on the needle head, just how big that is, that I could legit do my entire floss as it is through this instead of having to split it apart. And of course, the bigger your floss is, the fluffier it is. But the kit itself is pretty straightforward. Been watching a couple tutorials online on the proper method of actually using it, because apparently there's different types available. The other thing that I found that was kind of fascinating is the side that you are working on is actually going to be the back side. This is the front side. So if you do this, make sure that whatever pattern that you're drawing here is done in reverse, because it'll be the final piece will be on this side. And the other interesting thing I found is that when using this needle, there is zero knotting involved. So you have to be very delicate when you're done and not accidentally pull at the excess thread, because you could pull stitches and that's not good. So yeah, this is kind of an interesting foray for me. We'll see how this goes. I have not used one of these before. The only thing that I have looked up is just basic how-to tutorials, and such as like, how to thread it. So the needle's supposed to be just a little bit up. You take your threader, you're gonna slide it down so that it's like this. So you have that little piece hanging out. And then we get the fun part. Fairly flexible head, this shouldn't be a problem. All right. And then you drag it through. There we go. Okay. And then the next part, let's extend that up a little bit, is there is a point through the needle that you need to slide this through. Whoops, don't go crazy on me. And this is how we thread the needle. Woohoo! All right. So we can put that away. Now, obviously, you don't need a tail so ridiculously long. From what I was reading is it needs to be just a little bit longer than your actual punch needle, just in case. And you can actually adjust the distance. You can go all the way up to 11. It doesn't matter where you start. What you need to do is you need to follow the point of the needle as you go. That'll help ensure cleaner lines on the other side. It's not a hard and fast rule, but I heard it helps, so we'll roll with it. And then when you're starting, what you'll want to do is hold that excess thread that's through this needle. Let me tighten this a little bit. So that way your embroidery floss or your yarn isn't going all over the place. And it's supposed to be as simple as okay, so that did not work because this did not get tight enough, and I don't know why that wasn't tight enough. And what I was reading is that you need to be very, very careful. Oops. To make very tiny stitches. Okay, see, this is why you can't really do on cotton, because it's immediately slipping out. So what I'm doing is trying to keep my finger out of the way. Yeah, nope, see, it's just slipping. This is the problem, and this is probably why you can only use it with weaver's cloth, because it's not holding its place. Like, so you can see it going through, and what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to catch. So I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna hold here with my other finger, hold these two tight. This is impressive. Do that. We'll see if that helps. And because I have to do bigger. There we go. Okay, there we go. There we go. Okay, now we got a groove going. Now we got a groove going. So this is what it looks like on the other side. You see how it's making all these tiny little rufflies? So it looks like what I needed to do was make sure that both ends were tight before I could continue on, which means I would have to do cleanup on this section before moving forward. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go this way. And it's legitimately just going in and punching the fabric. Oops. Now, when you have like weaver's cloth or twill or a nice poplin, you can do the smaller stitches. And as if you notice, I'm actually holding the tension right here because it's still slipping on me. So I think it's actually the punch needle itself. It's probably a defective one. I've got some tools to fix it though, so I'm not too concerned. It was, again, $12.99 on Amazon. We're not going for like A+ material here. Definitely want to do a straight up and down motion. Don't try to go side to side. Don't try to do angles. Don't worry about having to do slip stitches or any of that craziness. Let me see if I can do this to kind of help keep this in place. Yeah, once you get started though, it's pretty easy. This is easily one of the messiest jobs I've ever done. I'm afraid to see what it looks like on the other side. It's probably really messy. All right. And then when you're done, you just pull back a little bit. Then we snip it. Boop. Yeah, look at how much floss I used up in just that tiny little bit. That was a lot of floss. Okay, so the grand reveal. God help us. Okay, that's not so bad. That's not so bad. And it's meant to look like that. It's meant to be raised. You can see how poofy it is. It's meant to have that pile. This could probably be really easily cleaned up if I have a little bit more time with it. But you can see, you know, it's starting to come together. What I would probably do is once you're done with everything, maybe some type of interfacing or spray starch or something to help ensure that the backside stitching doesn't pull. Because if you put this like on a couch cushion or like a vance or a window or something, it's really easy to start, like, look at this. All I have to do is pull and the stitches will be gone. You know, nobody wants that. So let's take a look at this other one. Same concept here. It's just a different needle. This one is static. You can't like take all this stuff out. This pen should work a little bit better than that one because I'm having problems with it keeping the needle in one position. We shall see. Boop. But yeah, there definitely needs to be some form of tension before you go and start. And I'm going to do the same thing as I did last time. So we're going to go ahead and poke in. I'm going to flip it over. Take a little bit of the thread out, and then we're going to do double duty. What you may want to do is like use painter's tape if you're not as flexible in your fingers. So that way you have one piece of tape holding it here, another piece of tape holding the second piece on the top. And then we're going to pull up. Whoops, I pulled up a little too much. You got to keep the stitches at least somewhat close. And then down and up, down and up. It definitely helps making sure that you keep the needle and your stitching straight. I can let go now because now we're at the point where all we do is just cruise. And it's definitely, just like with anything else, it takes time to learn how to do these things. So if you don't immediately get it right from the start, don't worry about it. You will learn as time goes on. Is this faster than standard hand embroidery? Heck yeah. Is it faster than machine embroidery? Heck no. This, though, I could see myself doing this with fun home decor projects. I'm still not fully convinced that I would use this for cosplay. All right, just to mess with the system, and you can see it's skipping stitches again. I'm going to try their crazy zigzag technique, which says all you need to do is this. God help me. Here we go. Twist. Oh, I don't like this at all. This scares me. You are having to use up way more embroidery floss. But it seems to be working. I could see this being a very viable option. Oh, but see, it skipped one of the stitches. And I used up a ton of embroidery floss just doing that. That was really, really messy. It did nothing on the backside. So if you're trying to go for that slip stitch look, it's only going to work on the working side. It's not going to come up on this side. Just FYI. You can see the differences between the pen. This is the pen where I had the busted tension. But because I was using it at a smaller point, it made smaller loops. This one had the full loop because it was much, much larger. More thread had to pass through this in order to get through the cloth, so it has a bigger loop. And it gets, you know, different results. But it also means this is so much easier to catch a pull, and you don't want that to happen. So, yeah. Overall, I give this a 3 out of 10. I mean, for a $12 tool, I got what I paid for. I would not use this on cosplay. It uses up a ridiculous amount of embroidery floss. And it does take some effort to kind of learn. You can't use it on a lot of fabrics. And yeah, I think this is definitely a tool of, I got what I paid for. It's not the best tool. It's not the worst tool. It was easy to pick up once I got used to it, and I think if I had the appropriate cloth, this side would be so much nicer. So, so much nicer. So yeah, that's all I got. So there you go. There's my review on the embroidery punch needle.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Of course, if you guys have any products that you would like us to review, you guys are always welcome to ping us on our social media, or you can email us, podcast@cospod.org. And let us know what you would like us to review.
Or if you have suggestions for tutorials, things that we should look at. If you have cosplayers that you want to suggest to for our daily cosplay, you know, hit us up. Because really, we do all this stuff for you guys. So if there's something that you want to see or you want us to try out, tell us. We'll look into it and we'll do it. Simple as that.
Yep. And also, speaking of social media, we have gotten our Discord up and ready for you guys to use. It is no longer in testing. We are actually live with it. And we do already have people in our chats. So if you would like to join them and be one of the cool kids, you can always ping us and ask for an invite, and we'll be happy to give you the details.
Oh, you don't even need to do that. I have the Discord link open 24/7. So they could just click on the link and they sign up.
That works too.
I made it very convenient for everybody.
But do come and join us with the cosplay chat. We do moderate our chat channels so that it is civil and polite
as
in there.
Clean as possible.
Yes. Now, we're not saying we don't censor speech unless
is something
that is overtly not protected, like, you know, racism, bigotry, that sort of thing. But I mean, other than that, we just encourage respectful civil debate and conversation about cosplay. So come join us. Other than that, I don't believe I have anything else unless you do.
Nope, let's go ahead and give him the spiel of the ending and then we can slap all our social media up there.
So we'd like to thank you guys for listening to this episode 161 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you would like to contact us with any suggestions, constructive criticisms, questions, or anything that you would like to show us, like say your cosplay projects, we do ask that you keep it family friendly, please, as we are a family friendly podcast and we do like to share these things with our audience. You can, of course, contact us for any of these things via our social media, which you can find here.
Here's me again. Hey, remember, Discord right here. Sign up. Be like one of the cool kids.
And of course, you can always email us. Our email address is podcast@cospod.org. Do make sure that you put your name in there if you would like to be credited with your email, because we do tend to credit them here on the show. And you'll probably get two responses, as that's usually how we do things around here.
That's how we roll.
And of course, if you are looking to compete in our cosplay contest, do make sure that you plan to do that at the convention itself and bring your A game. Otherwise, we will see you guys in episode 162. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Hi, everybody.